It's our crest, our coat of arms, and what it means to wear it.
Binsky will take it, tap it ahead for Nudibara, out to the neutral zone, finding Foligno.
It's when we dig deep.
Foligno's got help on the rush.
At the right moment.
And he drops it back for Dubinsky, over to Savard. He shoots and scores!
It's our blue, and out of our blue, we rise.
Head to BlueJackets.com for tickets, news, and more.
Sports Desk at the Columbus Dispatch presents the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
With your host, Ohio State basketball beat writer Adam Jardy.
Now, the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
The Buckeye Extra Podcast is brought to you by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company.
Hello, everyone. This is Adam Jardy from the Columbus Dispatch. Today is Thursday, July 23rd, 2020. It's my official duty to welcome you into episode 151 of the Buckeye Extra Men's Basketball Podcast. Welcome to Jubilation City. Welcome to a big news version of the pod. As you're probably aware by the time you're listening to this, Wednesday was the biggest day for the program in some time. Ohio State landed a verbal commitment from Malachi Branham, the top-rated recruit in Ohio for the class of 2021, the top player on their recruiting board for the class of 2021, a player they had invested a significant amount of effort and time into recruiting, who had been fairly tight-lipped throughout the whole process, very polite, very thoughtful, but not a guy that was out there seeking the spotlight or seeking a whole lot of attention while he just kind of went about his business. So he announced on Sunday that he would be announcing his commitment on Wednesday at 2:22 p.m. And then Wednesday at 2:22, a post went out on social media declaring that he had committed to Ohio State. So this podcast is going to almost exclusively feature on him and this news, because this is a really big commitment for Ohio State, and there's a lot of ways to sort of break it down. So Wednesday ended up being a significantly busy day, and I've written a few stories already, and by the time you listen to this, there should be at least two or three different stories up on BuckeyeExtra.com. There's more coming, but there's a lot to break down and a lot to get into. And I did a number of interviews on Wednesday, and not everything made it into a story that's gone live yet. Some things I'm kind of holding for a little bit, so it doesn't, I don't want to just throw a 5,000 word story at you like right off the bat and sort of be done with it. There's a lot to kind of digest and figure out as we go forward here. So I'm going to throw a lot at you on this podcast, though, because I want to mention right off the top, I'm taking 2 weeks of vacation starting next week. So there will not be a podcast until about mid-August. And I apologize for that. I would have ideally liked to maybe try to record one or two in advance and have them just sitting there so that they could you'd still have, you know, content while I am on vacation. But unfortunately, it was not feasible this week between the Malachi news. And then I've been helping out on our Blue Jackets coverage as we've gone through training camp with them. They're getting ready to resume play. And on top of having two kids and being home and it being summer, it wasn't doable. So I apologize for that. I do take a lot of pride in bringing you a podcast every week. And I will do that every week that I'm not on vacation, or was the case in the spring, every week that I'm not on furlough. So there will be, I'm sure it'll be a lengthy podcast when I get back, and we can go over everything that I've missed and see where things stand at that point. But this podcast will be a little bit longer maybe than normal, because I do think there's a lot of Malachi stuff to get into. But I guess before we even get into Malachi, as it comes to the current team right now, it is worth pointing out that Ohio State resumed workouts on Tuesday, supervised workouts with the coaching staff, and they've posted some photos to social media of a couple of guys going through workouts. The initial plan had been for guys to work out through August 5th and then head home while waiting the resumption of or when everyone needs to come back to class for the fall. I've learned they're going to actually leave earlier than that. Players are going to get sent home at the end of July. So it's not going to be a lengthy workout period here for these guys. It's going to end up being just a little bit less than 2 weeks, really, or maybe roughly right around 2 weeks. But chance for guys to get in the gym and work on a couple of things and get some instruction from the coaching staff and start to feel maybe a semblance of normalcy as we then start to inch our way a little bit closer toward the fall, not knowing what that's going to look like and not having any real idea what the season's going to look like. A lot of obviously unanswered questions at this point, but that's Just the one sort of little nugget of update as far as the current team goes. But like I said, we've got a lot to talk about with Malachi here. So on Wednesday, I spoke with a number of people. So you're going to hear quotes and original reporting as we go through the podcast from a number of different people. To start with, obviously, we've got Malachi himself. I have a lot of information from him. I spoke with his uncle, Lawrence Branham, whom he lives with in Akron. I spoke with Jason Dawson, his trainer, who is a Worthington product and a Central Ohio resident, and like I said, a trainer here in Central Ohio. I spoke with Brian Snow, 24/7 sports recruiting analyst, and if not the, certainly one of the most knowledgeable Midwest basketball recruiting analysts in the nation. I spoke with Kalen Etzler, fellow member of the class of 2021. Spoke with Michi Johnson, fellow member of the class of 2021. So there's a lot. And I'm not able to just dice up all the interviews into a bunch of different clips and play them, although I suppose I wish I could. But in the interest of getting this out as soon as I could, I'm just going to read you a whole bunch of quotes here and give you a lot of information. So hopefully you enjoy it, and hopefully it paints a good picture on what Ohio State's getting, what this commitment means, what to expect from Malachi. There's a lot to get into. I want to remind you before we do that, though, that you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Google Play and Stitcher and wherever else you listen to podcasts. If you search for Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast, you won't miss an episode that way. Then as soon as I get back from vacation and record a podcast, it'll pop right up on your phone, your tablet, or whatever. Please, if you would, subscribe, leave a comment, leave a review. That stuff is very much appreciated and goes a long way toward making sure I can continue to bring you this content that I hope you enjoy as part of what I consider to be the best job that I could possibly have. I love doing this, and I appreciate all of your support. So we're going to get into Malachi's commitment. But first, at Rosati Windows, staying competitive is really pretty easy because everything they do is personally inspected and done locally right here in Columbus, Ohio. They are a one-stop shop from the sales force to manufacturing of your windows in their 60,000-square-foot facility to the installers and then the follow-up inspections. Keeping it local and adding the personal touch. That's what has people consistently recommending Rosati Windows to their neighbors, family, and friends. So let's go over the numbers first. Malachi Branham currently stands as the top-rated recruit to commit for Chris Holtmann and the highest-rated Ohioan to pledge to Ohio State since Jared Sullinger, number 4 national recruit, according to the 24/7 sports composite rankings in 2010. And I suppose I should always add the qualifier. We'll be using the 24/7 sports composite rankings when we discuss any ranking for any of these players here going forward. So keep that in mind. He's listed at 6'5", 175 pounds. He is the top Ohioan in his class. He's a 4-star prospect, the number 27 recruit in the nation. He's like 5 spots away from being a 5-star recruit. So he's right sort of on the verge there. He told me his final decision came down to Alabama, Baylor, Louisville, Missouri, Marquette, Xavier, and Ohio State. His commitment gives Ohio State the 3 highest-rated Ohioans currently in the class, although I do expect that might change a little bit. Logan Duncombe is rated 4th in Ohio right now. I think he will likely climb. Michi is only, I think, he's number 89 in Ohio, and Kalen Etzler is number 90. I expect at least Michi will climb the next time the rankings get revised. He's like top 50 in the ESPN rankings. So now that Michi's healthy, he's gonna climb up in those rankings. But as it stands at this moment, Ohio State has the top 3 Ohioans in the class of 2021 currently committed. And his commitment also pushed Ohio State's class to the number 2 national ranking behind only Baylor. So that's where this class sits right now. It will obviously come down a little bit, although it depends on who else might round it out. But as I've learned going through this, you know that as time goes on, Duke's going to add its guys, Kentucky's going to add its guys, Kansas is going to add its guys, Carolina's going to add its guys, and they will climb in the rankings. So I don't expect that this will necessarily finish as the number 2 class in the country, but it's certainly a good place to be right now, and we'll still be in a position of strength depending on who they add to finish it out. So let's start here. In order to land Malachi, Ohio State had to take a little bit of a different approach than I think outside people might have assumed. To start with, so he's from Central Ohio, and he played middle school basketball here in Central Ohio, and then moved to Akron when he went to high school to go play for St. Vincent St. Mary and live with his uncle. But he did not grow up an Ohio State fan. His uncle did not grow up an Ohio State fan. So Ohio State, early on, never made any assumptions that there was a inherent brand loyalty to the program that would impact how they should recruit him. So Ohio State essentially recruited Malachi as if he was an out-of-state kid. They put in the same amount of effort, the same amount of legwork, and the same amount of research and relationship building that they would need to do for a kid who wasn't inherently enamored with Ohio State. He said, but when I talked to Malachi, he said, they never stopped calling me and they never got too comfortable. When I asked his uncle about that, he said, they did the legwork. It was major in that aspect because Malachi didn't really grow up an Ohio State fan. I didn't grow up an Ohio State fan. So it was important for them to understand that and not try to have this lure of being the hometown kid or this hometown hero, because it's about more than that for Malachi. You've probably seen the quote. It was in my story. He's given it to just about every outlet I've seen him do an interview with, where he said that they recruited him so hard it verged on annoying at times. And he laughed. He doesn't mean this in a bad way, but just they were that persistent. They were that consistent with him. He said, I said, well, what do you mean by that? And he said, like, I'd be trying to play 2K, NBA video game, and, like, I didn't want to be on the phone, like, talking to a coach. Like, I just want to play my game. Like, he said, like, that's how persistent, that's how consistent they were. It was assistant coach Ryan Peden that really started driving the engine here. He was the one that began the process and the one that was his primary recruiter. After they went and saw him in in Fort Wayne in an AAU tournament, after his freshman year at St. Vincent St. Mary, that's when Chris Holtman came and watched him. He started to get involved. And I can't remember off the top of my head if that was after freshman year or after sophomore year. But at any rate, they saw him play in Fort Wayne. He came to campus for a visit. They offered him. Things kind of progressed from there. He continued to develop his game and get better. Ohio State continued to recruit him very aggressively. He took his official visit to Ohio State back in the fall. It was the only official visit he was able to take. He did take a couple other unofficial visits, but the trip to Ohio State was the only official visit that he made. And throughout it, the coaching staff really built significant relationships that powered the way for this thing to happen for Ohio State. So that's where a lot of the credit goes, is that they were able to recognize that they couldn't just take for granted the fact that Malachi was from Ohio. They had to approach this differently, and they did. And that ultimately paid off in a massive way here in landing this commitment. It's fair to ask, because I kind of went a few ways on this as we went into Wednesday, but how big of a deal is this commitment? Because it's easy to overreact to big commitments. We've seen guys who it was a huge deal when Alonzo Gaffney committed to Ohio State, and we know how that turned out. And it was a huge deal when Ohio State landed DJ Carton because of what that said about the program. And then that situation ultimately doesn't work out. So it's always interesting, like, how much do you weigh a commitment like this, a recruitment like this? Like, what does this say about the program? And it's easy to paint broad strokes and to take, to take it to the 10th degree. But I did feel like the way things have sort of been progressing for Ohio State, that this, the amount of effort they had put in, and it was clear that this was their top recruit in 2021. This was their top priority. And they had worked extremely hard on trying to land Malachi. It felt like the biggest high risk, high reward moment so far in Chris Holtman's tenure at Ohio State, because by landing him, now you have a massive in-state recruit. Like I said, one of the biggest recruits from Ohio in a significant amount of time. And it would say something to keep that kid home. Even if he didn't have Ohio State ties growing up, that's a tough thing to explain away if he decides to go somewhere else, or even if, particularly if he decided to go to, say, Xavier. That would have carried some overtones that would not be great. It would have been a big loss for Ohio State on that front. So the fact that they recruited him the way that they did, the way that they landed him, that's pretty important. And when I asked Brian Snow at 24/7 Sports about it, I said, how big of a recruitment is this? How big of a commitment is this? He said, it's really damn important. On top of that, he's a high character kid. You're going to have someone that's high character around your program who impacts winning for multiple years. That stacks winning characteristics within your program. Anytime you can do it, you want to do it. He did add, as a qualifier, he said, some Ohio State fans are making Malachi's commitment a referendum on the program. He's one player. He's a very good one, so I don't want to make too much out of it than it is, but he's a very good player. So I think it is fair to say that, I mean, this is an important commitment for them, and I don't know that, I'm not sure it can necessarily be overstated as we sit here right now, because it's clear right now, I think his game translates better to the college game right off the bat. He's more well-equipped to play in college than like an Alonzo Gaffney. You know, there were some signs through Gaffney's prep career that he wasn't going to come in and make an immediate impact, that there's going to be a lot of work required. I wrote significantly about his senior season at the academy they played at, Brewster Academy, and some of the scoreless games that he had, and having to adapt to playing at that level. There were some, the word that kept coming up when you would discuss him was consistency. You need to see some consistency. He's got to figure out how to do it consistently. And that can be a concerning word when it comes to a player. Like, can they reach that potential? Can they get that consistency? Nobody says that about Malachi Branham. This is a dude that works hard, that does things, by all accounts, the right way, and is a guy that's going to help the program on the court, off the court, in the classroom. He brings a lot. So the question then becomes, so what kind of player is he? Why could he come in and make an immediate impact? Why could he play at a high level? Why is this a more significant commitment than maybe some of the other ones we've seen? So I asked his trainer that, and here's what Jason said. He said he's very smooth. He's 6'5 with a 6'11 wingspan. That checks a big box right there. That's coaches go nuts for that. He said he's long, he can defend, and he's super explosive. He scores in bunches. He can mess around and score 10 straight. He's very efficient. He can score at three levels of the game. He's an elite scorer. Now it's just about being more efficient, which we've been working on a lot. His handle is getting tighter. He's reading how to get off of ball screens now, making the right reads and the correct passes. He's becoming an overall combo guard. That's what he'll play, and it's going to be exciting to see him play at the next level at that position. The ball screen comment is interesting to me because, as you hopefully read in my story, Jason Dawson played for Chris Holtmann at Gardner-Webb. So he's a local kid. He's a Columbus kid. He played at Wofford for 2 years. He transferred to Gardner-Webb, sat out a season, and then played a season for Chris Holtmann. And he talked a lot when I spoke to him on Wednesday about how Holtmann, in some ways, that the year that he played, ran the offense sort of to his strengths. And he put him through a lot of ball screen situations, a lot of things that now they're going to try to do with Malachi when he gets to Ohio State. So his trainer has very specific knowledge and he has a unique understanding of what Chris Holtmann will be asking from Malachi. And they can really spend the next year honing in on that and continuing to develop that and get that part of his game to where he can potentially come in and be an immediate impact player for Ohio State. I asked Brian Snow, what do you think about what kind of player he is? Well, Snow has seen him in person. I've only seen game clips and highlights and things like that. He said, I think they're getting a really good player. He's not a one and done. Personally, I don't think he's a two and done. Someone who's going to be around for 3 or 4 years and really impact winning in a lot of ways. He's a good passer. He's a really good athlete. He's got long arms. He's big. He's going to be a real strong guard, or a real strong kid for a guard. He needs to get a little more consistent improving his outside shot, but right now it's already passable. And then this was an interesting comparison. I've heard a couple of people mention this, and I think it's an apt comparison here. He said he doesn't play like David Leidy, but he's maybe that type of consistent glue guy within the program that just helps you go to a next level. I've also heard, like, it's a lot to expect someone to come in, and this is not a fair comparison, but I've heard like a William Buford type of guy, a guy who's going to come in and just play at an elite collegiate level and be around. Not a guy who's going to play his way right into the NBA, but a guy who will legitimately have NBA opportunities, but will also have a chance to impact winning for multiple years. So it's a lot to project that someone's going to come in and be the number two scorer in school history, and I'm certainly not sitting here saying that, but those, when you think of the impact that a William Buford made, the impact that a David Leidy made, those are two guys in rare air at Ohio State basketball, and those are two guys that I've heard people draw parallels or comparisons to as far as where Malachi could be headed. So something to keep in mind as he gets ready to get to Ohio State. One of the things that I didn't get into a lot in the stories that I've written yet, but this is coming because I did speak to all of them about this, but there's a bond with these three members of the 2021 class between Kalen and Michi and Malachi. And it started when I spoke with Kalen the day that he committed to Ohio State. He said how he wanted to get Michi and he wanted to get Malachi and then kind of see where things go. But those were the two guys he very specifically, very early mentioned to me. So he was like my first phone call actually after Malachi committed, because I wanted to get his take on hoping for this sort of this future, this possibility of adding both these guys and then actually seeing it happen. And it's been roughly 14 months since Kalen committed. So obviously some time has passed, but I wanted to know what it was like for him to see that all come to fruition. And he was obviously pretty excited about it. He said it was kind of hard to believe. Like you almost, it was like weird almost, because you hope that it would happen, but maybe you don't actually believe that it's going to happen. He said that, you know, he keeps in touch with both of them, has talked to both of them a lot. He said, you know, especially Malachi, he said, I call him and FaceTime him. We'll just catch up. He said, it's not about commitment. It's like, hey, how you doing? We talk about sneakers, games, anything. He said, I already have a good relationship with him. And then obviously I have one with Michi now that he plays on my AAU team. He said, so we have a great relationship. He said, he's really energetic, just like me. So yeah, so Michi and Kalen obviously are playing together for the same AAU team. What was interesting, I asked Malachi, well, first I asked Kalen about, you know, you know him so well and you want him to join you at Ohio State so much. I said, did you play against him? What kind of experience do you have going against him or seeing him on the court? And he said, I played against him once in the EYBL tournament and he gave us like 30. So ever since that day, I've wanted him on my team or another shot to even play him. He left a standing impression when we played him that he's a guy I want to have on my team because he works hard and he's a team player too. So the last question that I asked Malachi was, I said, so Kalen remembered playing you and you dropping 30 on them. What did you think of that game? What sticks out to you about that game? And he said, at that time, Kalen was ranked as like the top player in Ohio. He was ranked in the country and we were also playing all Ohio Red. He said, I wanted to show what I was capable of and make sure people understood that I wasn't going anywhere. And I also wanted to whoop on all Ohio Red because they like to talk a lot. But we proved who ran the state that day. He was pretty proud to say that. And that was he wanted me to make sure that I got that statement out there. He was pretty proud of that performance. So I had to include that here. It should be a pretty fun backcourt to watch. I mean, Michi's going to be, he'll be running the point. You have Malachi at the two. It's hard to project rosters too far down the road. I don't know what Ohio State's going to look like, you know, next season. Obviously, Dwayne Washington could be back. You'll add Jimmy Sotos, the Bucknell transfer, who's sitting out this year. So they'll have some options. I don't necessarily expect Michi and Malachi to be both starters from day one as freshmen. But we got a lot of things to get through, both on and off the court, before we can start projecting the 2021 lineup. But I do like the thought of these two guys in the backcourt together. Michi has experience seeing Malachi in person. He said he played Malachi twice, and they're 1-1 against each other. Michi said, I beat him my freshman year, and he got me my sophomore year. I don't remember him playing as much as freshman year, but his sophomore year, I remember him being a great slasher around the basket, a great finisher. I remember hitting a couple of threes. I saw him a couple times in AAU, same thing. High motor, great teammate. When he plays, I can tell he's competing and competing to win, and that's the type of player I'm excited about being on the floor with. And that's a mutual feeling. When I had my interview with Malachi, he said, as far as being with those guys and being in a backcourt with Michi, he said, I think we can be electric. We can push tempo. Both of us are willing passers. We can rebound and go from the guard position. Kalen has good size and he can shoot it. It'll be good that he can space the floor. I think we can bring a little showtime to Columbus and generate a good buzz around the city. Michi went a little bit further than that. Michi said that he thinks they can be in the Final Four as freshmen. He thinks they can win a national championship. So there's that, and that's in my story. You can read that quote. When the news was official, Michi said that he texted Malachi right away, and he said, it's like the bond is already there. I texted him, like, bro, let's go. Let's get this going. He texted me back and said, bro, I'm ready to go to war with you. That's the first thing he said with me. I already know what type of player he is. I already know I'm going to love him as a teammate. I'm going to build that brotherhood, that bond with him, and I'm excited for it. I did ask Malachi for his hopes for his Ohio State career. He said, I want to win, and I want to win big. Everyone has national championship aspirations, but I definitely want to make it happen. I know it'll be hard, but anything worth having is worth working for. I want to be able to come in and produce right away. I'm not sure that everyone understands the work I've done and continue to do, but I know the goals I've set forth for myself, and I'm 150% going to make them happen. Now, building off what he said there about, I'm not sure everyone understands the work I've done and continue to do, there was a theme that I noticed as I continued to speak with different people on Wednesday of sort of feeling like he was overlooked, like he's got something to prove to people still. His trainer, Jason Dawson, said that it started in fifth grade. For him, at least, where apparently Malachi's mom and grandma were looking for people to work him out, to help him try to develop his game. They were having a hard time finding people, to where finally Jason said that he would do it if he didn't mind like working out with his nephew as well, who is like three, four years younger than Malachi. So he said, you know, if you don't mind me kind of working the two of them out at the same time while I'm back during the summers, because he was playing overseas during the year. But he said, if, you know, I'm fine to do it if he doesn't mind working out with a kid that's younger than him. So they kind of agreed to that, and they started working. And he said it was like around seventh grade that it just sort of changed for Malachi, where he really continued to devote himself and to take another step as far as like really digging into and buying into the sport as a whole and really putting all of his efforts into it. So he said that Jason said it's what he's put into the game, and the game has rewarded him for all the work he's put in. A lot of people don't know how hard he actually worked, and now it's showing. He's always been told he was second, that he had to be placed behind people, but we knew his potential, and he just had to grow into his confidence of himself, which allowed him to be who he is now. They will work out roughly every other week. Sometimes Jason will go to Akron. Sometimes Malachi comes to Columbus. He said their workouts will be like 5 a.m., 6 a.m. They'll go through their workouts, and then he'll do more work later. He'll work on the shot and things like that. But they'll get going very early in the morning to get things rolling for them. Malachi's uncle, he said in our conversation, he said, I think everybody's genuinely happy for him. People around us know the work that Malachi's put in. He's kind of been overlooked just a little bit, despite him being ranked as high as he is. I still don't believe that people have a genuine appreciation for his game. I want him to continue to put it on display and show people that he is legitimately a top kid in the country. So it is interesting that you've got a kid who's number 27 nationally, according to 24/7 Sports, and there's a feeling that he's been overlooked. So apparently there's still more there, and they're continuing to work on that and try to show people that there is more there. So that's, I think you'd rather see that than a kid that's complacent and happy with where he is. So I thought that was interesting, and that definitely needed to be in here. It didn't make it really into my story, but it's just a little nugget that I found interesting. One final quote here. I'm going to kind of wrap up all the interview stuff with one more quote from Brian Snow. So one of the things that interested me throughout Malachi's recruitment was how he was super nice and he was super polite, but like, this isn't a kid that seemed to be like glorifying or seeking the spotlight or really loving all of the attention. When we would speak, he was happy to discuss whatever, and we had some really good conversations about kind of how things were going and where things were, but like, he didn't have, oh, I'm gonna have a top five, top seven, whatever, I'm gonna cut down to this. He's always just very level-headed and just kind of blasé. Not blasé, that implies that he didn't care. But just very level-headed about everything. And that's one thing that will stick with me, was just I've covered kids that are rated as highly as him and have schools coming after him like the schools that were coming after him. And it can be a very different story. But as far as Malachi goes, it seemed to be a different type of recruitment. And so I was wondering what it was like for a guy like Brian Snow. What's going to stick out to him about Malachi's recruitment? And he said, for me, it would be how honest he was. He never BS'd me. He never really lied to coaches. He might not say everything, but some kids try to play a game. He wasn't a game player at all. It was what you see is what you get. There were no dramatics here. He was upfront with everybody throughout the process, and it shows the way he was raised by his mom and his uncle and the type of kid that Malachi is. Even the schools that didn't get him, the first thing they would say is, man, he's a great kid. That'll be the thing that sticks out to me. So now I'm going to take a quick break, and then we'll get into some of the historical implications and what might be next for Ohio State. I thought it would be fun to take a look at Ohio recruiting in general for the last decade or so, and specifically the very top of Ohio recruiting. So I went back and looked at the 24/7 sports rankings for each of the last 10 years, and I've got the top native Ohioan in each of the last 10 classes. And by native Ohioan, I basically mean someone who didn't go to a prep school. Like, because there have been kids that have played at the Spire Academy or Osborne Academy, but they're not from Ohio. So it gets a little nebulous as we try to decide, like, top recruits from states now that kids transfer to academies and prep schools so much. That kind of throws the numbers here when we get to 2019. But we're going to do our best. So in 2020, the top recruit in Ohio was John Hughley from Brush High School up in Cleveland, number 90 national recruit, committed to Pitt. He was a four-star recruit. In 2019, it would have been Zoe, but he transferred out, so maybe we should include him. If you include him, he was a number 50 recruit nationally. He was a four-star recruit. If you don't include him, the top recruit in 2019 was Jalen Withers from Cleveland Heights. He's the number 125 recruit in the nation, three-star recruit, committed to Louisville. In 2018, it was Darius Baisley from Cincinnati, Princeton, number 17 national recruit, five-star recruit, committed to Ohio State, backed out, signed with Syracuse, didn't go, went pro. So the top recruit in 2018 to actually play college ball, Jerome Hunter from Pickerington North, whom Ohio State recruited heavily, but ended up obviously signing at IU. He was a four-star recruit and the number 59 recruit in the nation. If you go back to 2017, the top recruit in Ohio was Caleb Wesson, obviously from Westerville here, four-star recruit, number 75 nationally. In 2016, you had Amari Spellman from North Royalton, who was number 20 nationally and a five-star. He went to Villanova, but he wasn't in Ohio as a senior, just like Alonzo Gaffney wasn't. So if you go back, if you go a little bit further down, then VJ King was a number 24 national recruit from Akron. He was a five-star recruit. He went to Louisville, also ended up transferring out of there. The top, if you don't count those guys for whatever reason, then after that you got, maybe it's worth pointing out, number three in that class was Nick Ward at number 42, a four-star recruit. In 2015, it was Luke Kennard from Franklin, number 21 national recruit, five-star player, went to Duke. In 2014, it was Jayshon Tate, who was the number 58 national recruit and a four-star recruit. In 2013, you had Devin Williams from Cincinnati Withrow, who transferred for his senior year. He was number 54 in the nation and four stars, went to West Virginia. Right behind him, Mark Loving, number 61, a four-star recruit. In 2012, Samaj Christian from Cincinnati Winton Woods, he also would transfer. He was the number 31 national recruit and a four-star player who went to Xavier. In 2011, you had Zach Price from Lakewood St. Ed, who was the number 58 national recruit, went to Louisville, four-star recruit. And then in 2010, Jared Sullinger, five-star recruit, number four nationally. So you go down the list there, and it's interesting to just look at Ohio as a whole and how highly rated was the top player in Ohio. You got, if you count backwards from 2020 to 2010, you've got number 90, number 125, number 17, didn't go to college, so 59, 75 in 2017, number 20 in 2016 or 24, number 21 in 15, 58 in 14, 61 in 13, 31 in 12, 58 in 11, and number 4 in 2010. So we're not talking a lot of elite upper-level talent necessarily in Ohio for these last 10 years. And so for Ohio State to land the number 27 recruit, that's pretty significant. I mean, that would place him only behind Darius Baisley. We're not going to count Amari Spellman because he wasn't in Ohio as a senior. So it puts him behind Darius Baisley at 17, VJ King at 24, Luke Kennard at 21, and Jared Sullinger at number 4. So this makes him the number 5 recruit from Ohio in Ohio in the last now 11 years. something to keep in mind, and I think something that is interesting when you look at the greater context of Ohio State basketball and Midwest basketball and what Ohio State was able to do and then how things got more difficult for them in the recruiting front. It's interesting to look at kind of where Ohio's top talent was rated compared to the rest of the nation, because it definitely there's some dips in there, some significant dips. So where does this class go now? And this story, I'm going to have something posted about this on Buckeye Extra on Friday morning. But they ultimately, I believe this class will end up being a four-man class. That could obviously change at the end of the season, depending on what the roster looks like and if everybody sticks around. But they want to add a big. And that's what this class is missing. That's what the roster in general is kind of missing. So they want to add a big, and they kind of need to add a big. I don't think it's necessarily going to happen anytime soon. I would not be surprised if Ohio State ends up adding somebody else to this class, but in the late signing period, so someone that would commit in the winter, in the spring. But it is pretty clear to me that at least at this moment, there appear to be three top candidates on that wish list. So you've got three guys that I think are primarily under primary consideration for to add to this class as a center, as a big. You got Chet Holmgren, number one center in the nation, number two overall national recruit, Minneapolis native, took an official visit to Ohio State back in the fall. I've seen recently here he's being more and more pegged as a Gonzaga lean. I think Ohio State might be a little bit of a long shot here, but I do think there's at least a chance. I think their foot is in the door. Not far behind, you got Charles Bediako, the number three center in the nation. The number three center in the nation, the number 20 recruit in his class. He's a native of Canada. He played at the Osborne Academy up there in the Cleveland area with Michi Johnson last year, but he's transferred to the IMG Academy this year. He posted a top 10 of his a top 10 schools list on July 3rd that included Memphis, Alabama, Texas, Baylor, Maryland, Duke, Tennessee, Michigan, USC, and Ohio State. So Ohio State is in the running there. And then Efton Reed, who is the number four center prospect nationally, the number 21 overall recruit. He's a Richmond, Virginia native. He will also be playing at the IMG Academy as a senior. He did take an official visit to Ohio State as well, and he took it the same weekend as Malachi. So that's interesting and worth keeping in mind here. He's known to have taken official visits to Virginia and Louisville as well. It's so interesting. I mean, all these recruitments have just kind of stalled in some ways because obviously nobody can go anywhere. You can't take visits to go see schools. Coaches can't be out on the road recruiting and evaluating. So normally we'd be talking about a lot of big AAU games for these guys and new offers they'd be adding and all the craziness that would come with a normal evaluation period. And that's just not what's happening right now. So I don't know how that's going to impact some of these recruitments. I think it certainly helps that Ohio State had a Chet Holmgren on campus, that they had an Efton Reed on campus. They've had Charles Bediako on unofficial visits, or at least one unofficial visit. So there's at least some familiarity, some in-person familiarity with these guys at a time right now where if you want to start recruiting them, you can't have face-to-face meetings with them. So we'll see how that might impact Ohio State going forward. But those right now would seem to me to be their clear three top priorities. So, and I think Logan Duncombe, they would have liked to have had him as well. I mean, I think if obviously he's committed to Indiana and he pulled the trigger on that. It's been at least a month or two now, I think. But they would have taken Logan Duncombe, I believe, if they could have. Michi did have some thoughts on these guys. As we were talking about the class in general and about adding Malachi, and I mean, he knew immediately that the class was now number two in the nation, and he knows like how these guys are ranked. So he told me, he said, now we're going to go after Chet Holmgren, who we might be very, very close with. Efton Reed, who we think we could be close with, and I think they're recruiting Charles Bediako when I was at ISA. Me and him have a great relationship. I got a great relationship with Efton, and I talk to him a lot, and I've got a great relationship with Charles. It has to be the right fit for whichever one wants to come, but we can't go wrong with either. We want a great freshman class coming in. And then he said further about Chet Holmgren. He said, you get him, we've got everything we need to be a national championship team. We've already got what we need, but you can't go wrong with the number one player in the country, with a top 20 player. He said, we're looking to keep building, and whoever can help us win a national championship, that's who we want. So two other things here to kind of wrap things up as we kind of close the book on a lot of that. Or I guess three things, really. There was Kendall Brown, a five-star guard that they were recruiting and who took an official visit to Ohio State pretty late in the basketball season. And I did write a story about him as we were all going through the quarantine back in the spring. But he's a Minnesota kid playing in a prep school in Kansas. He committed to Baylor earlier this week. So that has something to do with Baylor's overall number one recruiting ranking. But Ohio State had been recruiting him, and they were definitely in the mix there. I don't think that had anything to do with Malachi's decision. I think they very much wanted Malachi. Let's put it that way. Not that they didn't want Kendall, but they very much wanted Malachi. There's a new 2022 scholarship offer out. Deontay Green, a four-star power forward from Arden, North Carolina Christ School. He's a 6'9", 205 forward. He's listed as the number two recruit from his state, the number 11 power forward in the nation, number 73 recruit nationally. He's recently also added offers from Kansas, Louisville, and Clemson. So a new guy that's kind of on the roster there for 2022. And then one final thing, Gary Parrish over at CBS Sports, as of Wednesday morning, had Ohio State at number 16 in his top 25 and one, looking ahead to next year's basketball season. So just thought that was worth passing along. So now, like I said, I'm going to be off for the next 2 weeks. So I'll leave you with a few music things here as so maybe something to tide you over until I get back. One, I'm super excited to wake up this morning and there'll be a new Taylor Swift album tonight at midnight. So that's pretty great. I have not heard a single thing off it because nobody has, but I'm obviously excited about that. I've been listening a lot. I keep listening to the new Airborne Toxic Event album, Hollywood Park, which I just think is fantastic. I've been listening to the new Haim album a lot. Still really digging. I still don't know if it's Gary Cinnamon or Jerry Cinnamon, but it's spelled G-E-R-R-Y. Have his debut album. I've been listening to that a lot. Hayley Williams, the singer from Paramore, her solo album is really good, Petals for Armor. I've been listening to that a lot. Yeah, just trying to kind of get out there and expand my listenings a little bit. You can also, Jason Isbell has put out a couple of live albums through this that you can download on Bandcamp for $10. And I'm pretty sure he's doing it to help support his musicians and the people that rely on him touring and putting out music for their livelihood. So he's put out three fantastic live albums that start at 10. There, you can pay whatever you want, but it's a minimum of $10. And there's an acoustic one. There's a last like full band show that they did. And then he also did an acoustic one where he did his most recent album, Reunions, him and his wife, Amanda Shires, him on the acoustic guitar, her on the fiddle. It's great. It's great. You should definitely check out either of those or any of those three. I've been spinning them a lot lately, so definitely do go check them out. So now I'm going to get out of here. The van is getting quite suffocating sitting in my garage trying to keep it quiet in this oppressive heat that we have here in July. So as always, you can send along your questions, your comments, your love notes, your hate mail, and otherwise constructive criticism to me at Adam Jardy on Twitter or ajardy@dispatch.com. Thank you very much for listening and for supporting the podcast. Thank you to our web staff for stitching this all together and continuing to deal with the remote work that we're doing here. Please stay safe wherever you are. Wear your mask. Please be responsible when you go out. I'd really like to be covering live sports again before long, and we all need to do our part. So I will be back, like I said, in after the next 2 weeks. So until then, thanks.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.